This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball.
2-0 on Trout. This one is crushed. Left center field, way out of here.
Now here's your host, Trent Rush.
Happy hot stove season and welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast. My name is Trent Rush down in San Diego right now for the start of the baseball winter meetings. What a time to see how teams are going to get better, where the Angels are going to fit in to that. It has been a busy winter already, and that's what we're here to do today. And this is part of why I want to make sure we get this podcast out today. Give you a little bit of a catch-up in case you maybe haven't been paying all that close of attention to what the Angels have been doing over the last couple of weeks. This is the time right now to say, okay, I'm going to be watching a lot of coverage. I'm going to be listening to Roger Lodge on radio. You're going to be tuned in tomorrow night to Halo Sotsto from the winter meetings in San Diego. I want to know what's going on with the Angels as I'm seeing reports flying in on ESPN and on my phone, and I'm getting updates. I want to know what's happening and where the Angels fit in all this. So take some time over the next half hour plus. Might even be a little closer to 45 minutes. I don't know. We're going to spend some time going through what this Angels offseason has been like to this point, because I'll tell you this, Angels GM Perry Manassian has not wasted any time. In fact, really, Perry set the market with the Tyler Anderson pickup. We're going to talk about Tyler Anderson coming up in a bit. We're going to talk about Gio Urshela coming up in a bit. That's another big pickup the Angels have made. Want to get things going, though. We're going to almost work in reverse here, starting with Hunter Renfro. The trade the Angels made with the Milwaukee Brewers. Hey, Hunter Renfro had an OPS over 800 last year. Dude hit 29 bombs last season. Hunter Renfro is a big-time pickup for the Angels. And we talked about this with Perry Manassian, about what it means to have Hunter Renfro now with this club.
Yeah, obviously, it's a productive player who's done it year in and year out for a while. It's a quality two-way guy. Not only can he produce on the offensive side, he's a quality defender. He can really throw. Just the total package. We felt like he was a really good fit for us.
Let's talk about Renfro's numbers just for a moment. 30 years old, played 125 games for the Brewers last season. I mentioned the 29 homers, drove in 72 runs, 807 OPS, had 23 doubles last season. And then you just heard Perry Manassian talk about what he can do as a two-way guy. Not in the same sense as Shohei Ohtani as a two-way guy, but as a great defensive player. Last season, Hunter Renfro led the major leagues among right fielders with 11 outfield assists, was 10th in the National League with a .492 slugging percentage. The Milwaukee chapter of the Baseball Writers really thought that he was the Brewers' best newcomer last season. So he's been bouncing around a little bit. Hunter Renfro has several different teams over the last number of years. He's familiar with being in San Diego, but this is going to be his fifth team in 5 years. I think he's probably most known for his time with the Padres, had a stop in Tampa Bay, Boston, Milwaukee, and now with the Halos. But this is a big-time pickup that the Angels get. Now, in the process, they end up having to deal away some pitching, but not a whole lot of like crazy impactful prospects. You do lose some guys that you're familiar with in the major league level. Jansen Junk, one of them, Elvis Peguero, and Adam Seminaris from Long Beach State. Those are the three pitchers the Angels have to deal away to be able to get Hunter Renfro. But this is the kind of move that really shores up an outfield that did have some question marks a year ago. And the reality of the situation is that Joe Adell right now has the potential to be a very, very good player at Major League Baseball at a high level here at the big leagues. We just haven't seen it yet. The potential is there. He's still really young, and who knows if and when that's going to come to where what we've seen at the minor league level translates to Major League level. But the Angels are in a situation right now where there's not a whole lot of time to be patient. I mean, you're talking about Shohei Ohtani in a contract year. You're talking about Mike Trout still in his prime, trying to capitalize on that. You're talking about Anthony Rendon. That's probably at towards the end of what the prime years are going to be. Still a productive player. You would imagine he'll be for several more years. But when you're looking at what like a window for a championship is going to be like, and then you look at some of the other pieces on this roster, the way that it just kind of sets up, you feel like 2023 is a year where you got to be a lot better than what you've been. This is the time right now, is 2023, and there's a lot riding on this coming season for the Angels. So to go pick up Hunter Renfro, he's on an expiring deal as well, but I don't know that you can afford to wait all that long in the outfield for if a prospect is going to be able to deliver for you. You need a known, proven, ready commodity. And the Angels get that in Renfro. Now, he's going to be in right field. Taylor Ward is going to move from right to left. But you got to feel good about your outfield going from left to right and Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, Hunter Renfro. All of a sudden, there's not really a concern there. So that's an area that probably was a question mark. Not probably. Definitely was a question mark coming into the season. That's been shored up. You now no longer have to worry about the Angels outfield. Yeah, you're still trying to figure out what the infield is going to look like. You know, Jared Walsh coming off an injury. What's first base going to be like? You know, how are the Angels going to handle the middle of the infield with David Fletcher, Luis Rengifo? We saw Levant Soto come up, and he was an impactful player. Do the Angels make the move to go get one of the big four shortstops? Do they end up now having all this left-handed pitching? Do they make a trade to go get a shortstop from somebody else? Obviously, you need Anthony Rendon to be healthy at third. I think you feel good behind the plate with Logan Ohapi. But again, this is another prospect that's coming up. You have Max Stassi as well. So with those two, you feel good about that. I think you feel good about the Angels rotation right now. Yes, you'd like to get probably one more arm. You also need to make sure that the bullpen is better than what it is right now. But there's also a lot of internal prospects, I think, that could end up sliding into some bullpen roles for the Angels this year. That'll be interesting to watch this coming season. But when you're trying to, you know, go through the long list of all the boxes you got to check off to where you feel good at different positions, the Angels had a lot of boxes to check coming into the winter, and they've already checked off three. Getting Tyler Anderson right out of the gate was a great start. Back that up with Urshela. Then to go get Hunter Renfro, that's a big deal. And here's Hunter now talking about his opportunity now to join the Halos.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, obviously I was in Southern California for a long time with Padres, and come back there. It's pretty cool. You know, kind of my agent had mentioned it Friday that we're possibly being moved, you know, at some point. And I kind of figured, you know, it was going to come no matter what, just because the payroll for the Brewers was getting up there pretty good with arbitration guys. And guys like Woody and Corbin and Colton, those guys making, you know, $10, $11 million possibly in arbitration and stuff. And I kind of knew it that it may be the end of the road and getting out of pay range for those guys. And I think Aaron actually texted me, or we were talking, he was at the house, and Aaron Loop, it's like, hey, Perry texted me the other day saying that the Brewers are kind of being a pain in the butt to whatever, and that's that thing. But he got me, and we had a good conversation last night, and it was great.
How do you like picking up those Crystal Springs, Mississippi roots right there from Aaron Hunter Renfro? How about he sounds like Aaron Loop, obviously talks with Aaron Loop, and he looks like Mike Trout. That's all everybody wants to talk about. And they do have some similarities, maybe not as much now as they did a couple years ago. But for Hunter Renfro, he's also excited to be playing alongside Mike Trout in the outfield and to be on the same team as Shohei Ohtani. Who wouldn't want that?
I mean, obviously, yeah, it's very exciting to be able to witness greatness every day and see those guys play. Even on the other side, it's fun to watch them play and stuff. So just to be on the same field as them and learn from guys like that and see what their daily routines are is pretty special. And obviously it takes a little bit of pressure off the player, not necessarily me, but every player, to be able to step on the field with those guys and watch them do what they do and just kind of be a piece to the puzzle and just help them be great.
Very quality pickup to get Hunter Renfro on this team. Let's go into how this offseason started. First, it was Tyler Anderson, which we'll talk about coming up in a moment. But let's get things going with Gio Urshela, the Angels pickup to help for as far as infield depth is concerned. They make the trade with the Twins. They end up dealing right-hander Alejandro Hidalgo, a minor league right-hander, and they also end up DFAing Jonathan Diaz, left-hander we've seen here at the big league level. But for the Angels, this is the kind of move that I think speaks to what Perry Manassian was talking about in terms of building a team and having roster depth a couple of levels. One, being able to withstand an injury. The Angels had a lot of injuries last year, and when that happened, there just wasn't that next wave. There wasn't that next group of guys that were of major league high level, major league quality that could be of assistance and help get the team through it. On the other part of that deal as well is you're talking about a player in Gio Urshela. You could play him at third, you could play him at short, you could play him at second, you could play him at first. He could be all over the infield for the Angels. And that's part of the reason why I love this pickup so much. It's infield depth, absolutely. A very good defensive player. Hey, let's not forget, he was a three-win player a season ago. If you want to look at WAR, where he hit 285 last year. 767 OPS. Just kind of looking across the board, what he did with the Twins, 13 home runs, 64 RBI. He is a player that, again, a very good defensive player. You can bounce him around all over the field. He's 31. He'll be 31 on opening day. And here's Angels general manager Perry Minassian talking about the role Gio Urshela is going to have for the Angels this coming season.
Depth, right? Protecting ourselves in a lot of different spots. This is a really good player. We like this player a lot. We can do a lot of different things. Obviously, his natural position is third base, but we feel like he can play first. If he needs to, he could stand at second. He can even fill in at short here and there on occasion. So to the ability to add a player of this caliber and add him to the group of infielders we currently have, we thought was the right move. And one of the things we've talked about a lot this offseason, we led baseball in strikeouts and trying to find more contact. And, this is a player that has the ability to put the ball in play and produce offensively and show some versatility. So not only the talent, but the makeup's pretty good too. I mean, it's a quality individual that loves the game, and he's one of the first ones to the ballpark, one of the last ones to leave. And, we've had some, obviously Phil has experience with him, Marcus has experience with him, and they vouched for him, and we feel like he's a great fit.
I think Gio Urshela is the perfect kind of a player that's going to end up playing a lot for the Angels. I think he really will. When you have David Fletcher's versatility, Gio Urshela's versatility, it makes you feel good about what the Angels' setup could look like in the infield. And if anything were to happen, the Angels have pieces they could slot into place that where they could be okay. So I think that's a very quality pickup for the Angels to get this offseason going. For the Angels to have that kind of infield depth, it can't be done. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on here on the podcast today. The Angels have a lot of areas where they need to improve and are looking to improve. And right now, the Angels are able to pick up a piece that's going to play all over the field for you, that is major league quality, that could step in and help a big league lineup on any given day. And that's just the kind of player the Angels have really needed for a long time and haven't had. I mean, this is, it's one thing to build your starting staff, when I'm talking about the starting lineup and exactly who you want on opening day. It's another to have the pieces you feel really good about maybe after opening day. Who knows where Gio Urshela ends up being when the season begins, but this is a player that's going to play a lot for the Angels. It's a player that's going to help the Angels a lot this season. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, that said, the Angels still have other places they need to improve. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but for right now, here's Angels GM Perry Minassian pretty much making it crystal clear. The Angels are far from done this winter.
We're not done by any stretch. I think there's still work to be done. And, we need to improve the outfield. We know that. We need to improve the infield. We know that. The pitching staff, to add to that, would be nice. Would be a nice thing to do. So we'll continue to talk to free agents, explore the trade market, and see what happens. It's a long season. I think we felt it the last couple of years with some of the things we've been through. 162 games is... it's a marathon, and you better have a stable of players. And it's not just 26, it's not just 40. It takes a lot of quality players to not only get through a season, but succeed and be in a position where you play meaningful games in September. So I know I'm a sports fan too. Everybody loves the big splash. You're watching the NFL, watching the NBA, you see some big names get traded. And, I think it's an exciting thing. But, in this position, some of the complementary moves are really, really important. And, as important as the big splash to surround our current group with as much talent as we possibly can is definitely a focus.
Okay, so that's the Gio Urshela pickup, depth for the offense, but how about the starting rotation and the signing of Tyler Anderson? Basically, the first day he could sign for agents, the Angels went out and got the all-star left-hander from the Dodgers, getting set for his age 33 season. But I'm telling you this, Tyler Anderson was so good for the Dodgers last year. Just look at the numbers. 15-5 record, 2.57 earned run average, struck out 138, and you just look at kind of the numbers, Anderson was a top 10 pitcher in the National League last season, just kind of going through the fact that he was fifth in ERA, fifth in wins, eighth in opposing batting average, seventh in whip, walks, hits, innings pitched. So you look at that, it's a three-year, $39 million deal. For the Angels, in some ways, I think that you're probably looking at a relative bargain for somebody that is potentially going to be a two in your rotation. I think you look at Shohei Ohtani at the top, then it's either Sandoval or Anderson, depending on how you feel about those guys. And then you look at a lot of left-handers and Detmers and Suarez after that, and then try to fill if the Angels end up with a six-man rotation, what that could be like. If the Angels maybe end up moving to a five-man rotation, what that could be like. All of that is worth discussing, worth looking into. We're going to hear from Tyler Anderson coming up in just a little bit. Perry Manassian addressed the media on Wednesday afternoon and talked about why Tyler Anderson is such a good fit for the Halos.
Yeah, we're obviously excited to be able to add this caliber of starter to a rotation. We feel good about is a positive direction for this organization. So I'd like to thank ownership for allowing me to pursue it. Obviously, it's a three-year commitment, but we love the person. We love the competitor. We love the guy. You know, we think he's exactly what we're looking for as far as not only adding to the rotation, not only his talent, but the makeup and bringing that type of competitiveness. And he's got some edge to him, and we definitely need that. So I think it'll be a welcomed addition.
The Angels rotation did get a lot better last year, and they went from being 22nd in Major League Baseball in 2021 to top 10. They were 9th in the 2022 season. So the Angels staff as a whole was much better last season than the year before, but there obviously still is more room to improve for this Angels club. We did get some injury news a little bit later on from Perry Manassian that Griffin Canning has been cleared to throw, and maybe he ends up being somebody competing for a spot in the rotation come spring training. Chris Rodriguez, another option there. I'm always kind of intrigued by what Chris Rodriguez could look like in the bullpen, too. I mean, his stuff is definitely good enough to be a starter, but there have been injury concerns really throughout his entire career. That could be something to look at moving forward as well, because the Angels definitely need to get their bullpen improved as well. The Angels have a number of areas they have to get better. Starting pitching, as good as it was last year, it does need to improve as well. If you're going to see this team make the jump into becoming a contender, I think 2022 revealed itself is how far the Angels need to go. And, you know, that year was impacted by a lot of different things. The losing streak in May into June was really a bummer that set the Halos into a tailspin. You combine that with a number of injuries and just lack of depth. It showed what the Angels need to do to get better and to improve. So there's a lot of different things that Perry Manassian needs to do this offseason. I think it sends an interesting message as well, signing Tyler Anderson. Because by making this move and making this move so early, it almost feels to me like this is a kind of a message being sent by the Angels to the rest of baseball, to the Angel fans, just to the rest of the league, that the Angels are not messing around. They are very serious about building a contender. I think it's a message to Shohei Ohtani that, hey, the Angels are very serious about building a contender, and Shohei, why don't you stick around, because it's going to be pretty cool what this team has going in the future. And Tyler Anderson is just the start. Again, it is day one, basically. The first day, essentially, that you could sign free agents, the Angels did that by bringing in Tyler Anderson. So, again, yes, the Anderson pickup is a good one. Let's also look at his career numbers. A 2.57 ERA last season, far and away a career year. Most of his career, his ERA has been in the low fours. And I think even if he is that, that could still be pretty good. I think he's going to be someone that could benefit from a six-man rotation if the Angels choose to do that. And I'm not worried at all that he's going to be 33 next year. Tyler Anderson has never been an overpowering arm. He's a crafty left-hander, and that changeup really is, you know, that pitch, the only changeup that was better in baseball, or at least the National League last year, was Sandy Alcantara. So you look at great pitches. Well, Anderson features that great changeup. We know how good Sandoval's changeup is, and Reed Detmers has the great curveball. There's a bunch of really good left-handers in this rotation, and it's, again, a very heavily left-handed rotation, which Perry Manassian addressed. But when it comes to the idea of setting the tone for the offseason, maybe I'm reading too much into that, and I think it's a big deal. But this is what Perry had to say about why the Angels were able to sign or interested in signing Tyler Anderson and getting that deal done right away.
Obviously, it's not something we're trying to do. Nobody gets an award for making the first move of the offseason. It's just what presents itself. And we put a lot of work into being prepared for this offseason. It started back in June, you know, even before that, honestly, April, May. I mean, it's just you constantly are looking at the next year, right? It's small picture and big picture. You have to balance both sides. So, you know, as we get further into the offseason, as the postseason was being played, we had meeting after meeting. We talked about players and you know, this was an individual that stood out. We just felt like he fit, you know, with where we're currently are and what we're trying to do with this club.
So that's Perry Manassian talking about the fit of Tyler Anderson, why the move happened now. And again, I think that there also is a little bit of a message. I mean, you can take, you know, you might as well take Perry's words as the hard truth. He went and said that this season it was going to be business as usual. We all know it's not. We all know that the Angels are a franchise right now that are up for sale. So what is it going to look like in building a team? How would that impact the offseason with that going on? And Perry Manassian said it's going to be business as usual. And then here we are, still in November. The Angels have made a big-time pickup to their rotation. They're obviously trying to improve and being aggressive right out of the gate to try and get better. So, yes, the Angels have been doing that for a while. In that way, it is business as usual. You know, some people probably thought, hey, maybe the Angels end up standing pat here. Maybe they end up having a quiet offseason. No, this is an organization that is very interested in winning. It's an organization that wants to be able to keep Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and their superstars here and win a World Series with these guys. So, to do that, I think you have to put a great team together now with Shohei Ohtani coming into a contract here. And the first step is to bring in a guy like Tyler Anderson, who's a perfect piece. He's somebody that can be a mentor to some of these young guys. But some of these young guys, I mean, they're young, yes, but they have the experience now. And you talk about, you know, how important it was for Reed Detmers and in his 11th Major League start to throw that no-hitter, how big of a deal that was for Sandoval to have the breakout. Suarez, I think, started a breakout. He had a great season. I think it can be even better next year. And then Tyler Anderson comes in, a veteran that's done it before, has been around a little bit, and has had success at a very high level. So I'm excited what Tyler Anderson is going to be able to bring. You know, I just mentioned a bunch of names there, and if you include Shohei Ohtani, well, the Angels could be closing in on having a six-man rotation. That's five I was just talking about there with Shohei and Anderson, and then Sandoval, Detmers, Suarez. So what else? Do the Angels look for a sixth? Do they entertain the idea of maybe trying to bring Michael Lorenzen back? Or is there somebody that is in-house? Is Chase Silseth ready to make that leap? Or are the Angels going to continue to search in free agency for more pitching?
Never have enough. You know, you'd always look to add to it. I think there's a domino effect to everything, right? So, you know, if you do add an extra, another starter, that takes the person that might be slotted into that sixth spot, knocks him down to the seventh, knocks that person down to the eighth, and just there's a domino effect. So we want to be as deep as possible. It's a long season. You know, I think we've all experienced roster changes over the course of the year. So what you think you have in spring training might not be what you have in April, might not be what you have in May. So you've heard me say the word depth over the offseason. I know it's early, but a lot over this offseason, and I'll continue to talk about it. And depth in the rotation is as important as anywhere.
I mean, that is evidenced every single season, it feels like. And the Angels have actually been relatively healthy as far as starting pitching goes over the last couple of years, and depth is still super, super important. So, yeah, bringing in a bunch of those arms, having some of the organizational depth, the staff ERA in AAA was the best, the Pacific Coast League last year, that's encouraging. There is good young talent that is rising on the mound through the Angels system. We might be a little early on some of those guys, but that's why you go bring in a guy like Tyler Anderson, who's going to be able to help you in the immediate. That's a big deal. Now, we did mention how left-handed the Angels rotation could end up being. I mean, that's four left-handers right there. And Perry was asked if there are any concerns about maybe being so heavy on southpaws.
I would take a full rotation of six Randy Johnsons, no problem. So, you know, I the lefty-righty thing, obviously, we're looking for quality pitching, whether you're lefty, whether you're righty. You know, we happen to have three really young left-handed starters that we feel like took major steps last year and hopefully continue to do that. To add another lefty to that mix, I think it's more about the person and the player than it is he lefty, is he righty? So, you know, we're looking for quality, and we feel like, you know, we got one.
Now, when it comes to Tyler Anderson's career numbers, I mentioned his lifetime ERA, basically is sub-4 pitcher ERA-wise lifetime. Now, he did spend 4 seasons in Colorado. That could have something to do with that. He had actually had a really good year. His previous career best season was in 2018 with the Rockies, 176 innings that year, struck out a career-high 164, had a 4.55 ERA, but let's not forget the Coors factor is a part of it. No doubt, had a great season with the Dodgers last season. And Tyler Anderson's 2022, far and away the best of his career. Again, with a 2.57 ERA, 138 strikeouts, and 178 innings. It was an outstanding, outstanding season for Tyler Anderson, and I think it's probably hard to expect him to be able to repeat at that level. I think you still expect him to be at a high level, but just looking at the career numbers, you want to make sure that it's not just one kind of flash-in-the-pan season. And here's Perry Manassian talking about what gives him confidence that Anderson might be able to do again what he did in 2022.
This is a player with a lot of pedigree. I mean, even the previous years were productive years as far as a major league starter goes. So last year was an amazing year. He dominated from start to finish, made the all-star team, pitched in the postseason, pitched extremely well against San Diego, was a guy out of high school. He was a first-round pick, highly touted throughout the minor league. So he's had a lot of attention his whole career. So I think he's done things over the last year that have obviously improve the results of what he had previous, and the development of the changeup. It's a different pitch than it was. I think the different slots he uses against righties and lefties that he started doing over the last year or two has really improved his production, especially against same side. So he's one of those guys that figures it out. You know, whatever he needs to do, he'll do. He's creative. He can do a lot of things with the baseball. And the biggest thing for us is we need to be in a position where we have a chance to win every day. And that starts with the starter. And, you know, I know people like to slot starters. Who's the number one? Who's the number two? Who's the number three? You know, for us, we'd like to throw 6 quality starters out there. And no matter what the day is, feel like we have a chance to win that game. So, and he does that.
He does, and part of it, too, is the Angels trying to find a way to make sure that they were able to provide some offense for their starting pitching again. In 2022, pitching was not the problem for the Halos, and we've talked for a number of years about how important it is for the Angels to get a lot better when it comes to throwing the baseball and how important it is for pitching to be great, and it went from being in the bottom third to the top third. That's a dramatic jump for the Angels as far as their pitching is concerned, but they got to be able to score some runs for these guys. So that begs the question, what's next for the Angels?
We'll see. You know, there's a lot of holes to fill. You know, I think we all know that. I've said that. You know, I think there's holes in the infield. There's holes in the outfield. Bullpen could be an area, adding to the rotation, adding to the bench. So there's a lot of options and a lot of holes to fill. So it's just a matter of what presents itself, what makes sense, how do we line up with different things, and we'll go from there.
I mean, really, if you're looking at any of the big four shortstops, I know it's expensive, but, man, the Angels could use one. I'll tell you this. I was impressed with what we saw from Soto at the end of the year. I think that we got to see another level for him to get to that is interesting. You know, Luis Rengifo I thought was great last year. I don't know what the Angels are going to have in store as far as the shortstop position goes, but you look at Trey Turner's out there, Carlos Correa's out there, Xander Bogaerts, and Dansby Swanson, all four would make an incredible, incredible impact on the Angels. And it would be an incredible commitment to those guys as well to try to bring them in. But that's something that I'm sure the Angels would probably want to be weighing and want to be looking into this season. I'm also curious to see what first base ends up looking like for the Angels with Jared Walsh coming off of a tough season, has that thoracic outlet syndrome, has the procedure for that, gets that squared away. When Jared Walsh comes back, Winnipeg healthy. Looking forward to seeing what that could look like for the Halos. But I think maybe in the corner infield spot, looking in that regard, try to improve to maybe have more of a sure thing, knowing that Jared Walsh is a little banged up still, and you don't know exactly what he's going to be like, when he's going to come back, and how long it's going to take for him to be right. That's an important position for the Angels over there at first base. I think you feel pretty good at the backstop with Max Stassi, and also bringing in Logan O'Hoppe, who has a chance to maybe be the opening day catcher for the Angels in 2023. And then obviously, you know, maybe the outfield ends up being a place where the Angels want to look as well, maybe try to upgrade out there. There are a lot of areas that the Angels need to improve on, and that's what this time of year is all about. How much will the Angels be able to improve? Well, again, that remains to be seen, but the Angels off to a great, great start. Very clearly, they are interested in getting better. I have a very strong feeling this is not going to be the last time we talk about a free agent pickup or the Angels making some kind of upgrade here this offseason. Now, when it goes back to Tyler Anderson just for a moment, there was some chatter about, you know, the six-man rotation, and Shohei Ohtani's agent has even said some things that, hey, maybe Ohtani would be open to potentially being in a five-man rotation. Again, that's a little early right now to try to sort all of that kind of stuff out. But as far as the six-man rotation goes, that's something the Angels have been doing since Ohtani's been a part of the club. It's something that, you know, one would suspect that they're going to continue to do, though, again, it's probably being discussed. All that to say, for Tyler Anderson, how much did it mean to him if being part of a six-man rotation would be something that would be appealing?
Yeah, I think it's something that we talked about. And, you know, obviously there was no concern there. I think the success level that some of our starters have had on the six-man makes it maybe even more appealing than pitching on a five. So, you know, I think it obviously was a non-issue, and we're happy to have him.
That's Angels general manager Perry Manassian. Before we get a chance to hear from Tyler Anderson himself, let's pause for just a moment for a word from our sponsors. Back here on the Angels Recap Podcast, off-season edition, covering everything you need to know about Angels baseball. It's been a big week for the Halos. We're talking about the Tyler Anderson signing with the Angels and the six-man rotation and how that could end up playing out. Well, Tyler Anderson spoke about how he feels about possibly being a part of the six-man rotation, and like Perry said, really, it's a non-issue.
No, I mean, that didn't weigh any decision on me. For me, it was just whenever you tell me to go pitch, I'm going to go pitch. So if you want me to pitch every fifth day or sixth day, whatever, it doesn't really matter.
There you go, a gamer there in the Angels rotation, bringing on Tyler Anderson. And Anderson also spoke with Angel reporters about why he chose to join this ball club.
You know, I just felt like going back to LA, even though it's a one-year deal, you know, it's a good team. It's a fun atmosphere. It's a great city, obviously. And so for me, it needed to be a team that I would have liked, that I think has a chance to be good, and is another good city for my family. And I think for me, and obviously a little more security. So for me, a chance to come here for a few years and have some security for my family, but really to be a part of a team that I think is going to be really good. I think we have a lot of good players on this team. And I think it's a fun, I mean, I love the city, love the area, love the fans every time I've been down there. So for me, it was a pretty easy decision to come to Anaheim.
You can kind of hear the optimism in Tyler Anderson's voice right there, which is encouraging, no question about it. You know, the one thing about Tyler Anderson in 2022, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, has that 2.57 ERA with a lifetime ERA of about 4.1. Granted, a lot of those years were spent in Colorado, where ERAs get seriously inflated in the wrong way for pitchers. So when you're setting your expectations for what Tyler Anderson is going to be in 2022, I think it would be a little bit of a stretch to think that he's going to be another top 10 pitcher like he was in the National League, in the American League this coming year. That said, it sounds like Anderson has done some things that he feels can really help him moving forward, and it's hard to ask for somebody to repeat their best year ever when they come back and sign the first of a three-year deal and to go do it again. But Anderson has a lot of faith that what he has done is going to help him moving forward, and he's going to continue to pitch at a high level.
I would say it's hard to say, come out and say, hey, you're going to repeat, you know, the best year ever, every year, the best year you've had. But I do think that the changes that I made, for me, really, I kept kind of the same thing and just made a change to my changeup, which for me made my fastball, which obviously isn't, like, you know, on the higher end of velo, It made my fastball play up because my changeup looked more like my fastball and was a little bit slower. So it was hard to kind of sit on one or the other and still be on time for the other. So it just created a little more separation for me. And so, you know, really, if the change wasn't massive. So for me, it seems like being able to repeat the physical part of it is a repeatable thing. And as long as you can maintain, I think, those separations and still be able to, you know, have command and be aware of who you're facing and how to pitch these guys you're facing. And kind of all the things that go into it. Yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll be the same way going down the road.
He's got that killer changeup, and he also changes his release point. Tyler Anderson does, facing a right-hander or a left-hander. You don't see that all that much in baseball, but here's Tyler Anderson about why he has a different release point when facing a right-hander versus a left-hander.
Last year, it probably was on pace with about the second half of 2021. Early in my career, and even when I was in high school, I would just kind of mess around with my arm angle and like try to make, you know, just in your brain, it kind of feels natural. Like if my hand is here and then I bring it here, I can make the ball instead of go like this. I can make it, you can kind of adjust where you're putting the pressure on the ball and how you're spinning it and try to get it to move like, you know, certain ways. If I drop down, it's going to do this, or from this slot, it might do this. And, you know, sometimes you're up there and you're competing in games and you just try to figure out how can I get this guy out. And in your head, you think that this makes the most sense if you can make the ball do this. And so you might have to manipulate your arm a little bit to do that. And then I think over the years, just the more I've done that, I've just kind of found some pitches that I like from different spots and like to be able to mix it based on the hitter and situation.
So there you go. Tyler Anderson joins the Angels, comes over on a 3-year, $39 million deal. What was interesting about that was he was made a qualifying offer by the Dodgers, which I know we talked about before. And for the Angels, it means that now they're going to be giving up a second-round pick for the second straight season. But for Tyler Anderson, he talked about what maybe some of those other offers looked like and what kind of choices he had.
Yeah, there was other 3-year offers. There was a lot of teams that had 3 and willing to do maybe more, but if we went into free agency longer. But, you know, for me, that wasn't a risk I wanted to take. I wanted to either take a qualifying offer or get a deal done right before, get it done before the qualifying offer expired and, you know, have my offseason done with and be able to know where I'm going to be and prepare and train and be ready to be with that team and have the whole offseason with that in my mind. And there was other teams, but for me, this one just made the most sense.
Again, looking forward to having Tyler Anderson be a part of this ball club. You know, it was the hottest topic in baseball the last month of the season and is carried over now into the offseason since the end of the World Series has been the American League MVP race. And by now we know Shohei Ohtani, the runner-up in 2022, ends up finishing 4th in the Cy Young voting as well, a top-5 pitcher in the American League, a top-5 hitter in the American League. I don't know what more Shohei Ohtani could have done. In my opinion, it was the greatest season of all time what Shohei Ohtani was able to put together. My stance, I feel like, has been very firmly made over the course of the last several podcasts we've done, and we've talked about it almost ad nauseum on radio. Also talked about it on social media as well. Had some fun, a little back and forth with some of the Yankee fans on that too. But congratulations to Aaron Judge on the honor. I think that this is one of those cases where history is going to be kinder to Shohei Ohtani than the present day. I think we're going to look back at 2022 and go, man, Shohei Ohtani did that in 2022. That really is the greatest season of all time. Of course, unless that gets passed by what Shohei ends up doing in 2023. Tyler Anderson's excited to be Shohei Ohtani's teammate and partner in the rotation. And before we got the news about who would be MVP, Tyler Anderson weighed in on some of his thoughts.
You know, obviously Ohtani had an incredible year. It was an MVP last year, and I would say his year this year was probably better. The things he did on the mound were really incredible, along with obviously great offense. And then, you know, obviously Judge had an incredible year also. You know, a historic season there. So I think it's really a tough decision for anybody.
Yeah, a tough decision. Of course, yes, because Aaron Judge did have the great season. But I think that for those that spend a lot of time listening to what we talk about here, I hope that we can show you that it really I don't think it was that tough of a decision. I think it, you know, Shohei Ohtani put together something that was truly historic. No sour grapes on my part here. I think you turn the page, you look forward to 2023 and look for Shohei to be back in the MVP conversation again and win it like he did in 2021. So you know, there's going to be no bitterness on our part here. I would just say that I think that when we look back at this season years down the road, I think that we're going to say, wait a minute, how come Shohei was not the MVP? Mike Trout ended up finishing eighth in MVP voting as well. So that's going to just about do it for the award season. So as we get off and running into this offseason, did want to just take a moment to look back and reflect on the year that was in Angels baseball. We've seen years of turmoil. This wasn't it, nor was it tragedy. We've seen that too. It certainly wasn't triumph. That was 20 years ago. In 2022, transition defines this Angels season after a tease the first 6 weeks.
It's chopped to short. This should do it. The throw to first. It's a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter. Reed Dippers in just his 11th major league start.
It may feel like long ago, but the Angels spent 23 of the first 39 days of this season in first place. Manager Joe Maddon had the Angels rolling 11 games over 500 at 24-13 before the Halos hit the proverbial and actual wall.
High fly ball. It's carrying deep out to right field. This ball was well hit, but making the catch on that one, banging into the wall, is Taylor Ward. And he's shaken up a little bit.
The loss of Ward and Rendon and David Fletcher all started the spiral that could not be stopped. The low light came on the 12th day of torture in the city of brotherly love.
A turn of events the last two innings in Philadelphia.
I don't even know what to say. This is so unbelievable.
The Angels go winless on the road trip, have now lost 11 games in a row, and the Angels lose today in shocking fashion.
2 days later, Joe Maddon was fired. The Angels had lost 14 straight games and had to now reboot under 500. And that didn't happen. At one point, the Angels played a six-week stretch where they only won 10 games. It was very simple. When Shohei Ohtani pitched, they won. When he didn't, they lost. In that stretch, Ohtani was 6-0 with an 0.45 ERA in his starts. For all the talk about pitching needing to be the priority this past offseason, that was addressed. The Angels made their way from a staff ERA of 22nd in 2021 to 10th this year. And that's with a rotation headlined by Ohtani, but accompanied by three young left-handers, 25-year-old Patrick Sandoval, 24-year-old Jose Suarez, and 22-year-old Reed Detmers. All four of those starters will finish the year with an ERA under 4. The Angels haven't had that since 2015. While Phil Nevin adjusted to the role of interim manager, the Angels' woes continued. And on June 26th against Seattle, the frustration boiled over.
Now Winker is heading to the Angels' dugout and both benches empty, and here come all the relievers from the bullpen, and we have a brawl right now.
In June, the Angels went 10-18. July, 6-18. None of that made any easier with Mike Trout missing 5 weeks in that time with a back injury. Then in August came the announcement that owner Artie Moreno would explore the possible sale of the franchise. After 20 years of elevating the organization to national status and with Ohtani international acclaim, Moreno feels it's time. Time for a new steward of the ball club to get the Angels back to the promised land of the World Series, now 2 decades in the past. In the final 2 months of the season, progress was revealed. Prospects like catcher Logan Ohapi and shortstop LeVon Soto have contributed positively at the major league level. The Angels minor league affiliates in AA Rocket City and A-Ball Inland Empire made their respective playoffs. The Angels AAA team in Salt Lake finished the year with the best staff earned run average in the Pacific Coast League. Taylor Ward returned to the level of play we saw earlier in the season. Luis Rengifo continued his breakout, and the Angels got healthier. David Fletcher came back, as did Mike Trout. The Angels even played August and September at an over 500 clip. And above all, we witnessed greatness with Shohei Ohtani.
Here's the pitch, and he got him looking. Struck him out with a slider, froze him. And Ohtani with a career-high 13 strikeouts. First pitch on Shohei, swings at that one and lifts a high fly ball that's carrying deep out into left center. It's out of here! A two-homer night for Shohei. Showtime with an exclamation point tonight.
An undisputed top five hitter in the American League and top five pitcher alike, Ohtani dazzled, dominated, and delivered despite the team's struggles. Some will argue it's the greatest season of all time. Others will marvel from the sidelines as Aaron Judge's Yankees participate in the postseason. But that's a debate for another time. As we put a bow on 2022, it's another year for the Angels not in the playoffs, a third-place finish, and once again, a significant offseason looms. A possible sale, one more year of Ohtani under contract, and a chance to capitalize on a window with two of the game's all-time greats in their prime together. While this year doesn't end how anybody had hoped, there are the pieces in place for optimism to spring eternal again. Remember, spring training is right around the corner, little less than 150 days away. For AM 830, I'm Trent Rush. Well, fortunately, we're much closer than 150 days to spring training right now than at the time that we recorded that. I think we're a lot closer. We're probably like 90 days out or less than that even. Spring training is coming up for sure. And boy, you know, listening to that again, it just feels like that's ancient history at this point. Thinking back to last season, hyperdrive into 2023 right now. How are the Angels going to get better this winter? Well, this is a big week to try to figure out a lot of that. We're going to be broadcasting live on radio 7 o'clock on Tuesday night from San Diego at the winter meetings. We're all excited to see what this Angels team could be like in 2023. Gotta like the three pickups they've made already, adding to your rotation in Tyler Anderson, getting that depth piece, the utility infielder in Gio Urshela. It's probably going to play a whole lot this year, and also getting the outfielder in Hunter Renfroe to shore up what your outfield is going to look like. That was an area the Angels struggled last year. Not really an issue now when you talk about Taylor Ward, Hunter Renfroe, Mike Trout. That is a very good outfield, something the Angels can feel excited about heading into this season. But the winter meetings are underway. We got you covered for it. Then we're going to have another podcast coming out a little bit later on this week. My name is Trent Rush. Thanks for hanging with us. This has been the Angels Recap Podcast.